You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. This is episode 991. This is our first show for January, and we're doing it on January the 1st. Shows you how mad I am, and maybe even I've influenced my co-host. But no, we had some spare time, so we thought we'd do a show. It's our predictions for 2026, what we think's going to happen in the WordPress space. So, Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan, my name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Más, and we do a lot of work directly with WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. Like I say, we're going to be doing our predictions. We don't guarantee that it will come true, but it's just a bit of entertainment, folks. But before we go into this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the meat and potatoes, though, I'd like to say that we've got some great special offers from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress technology and services aimed at the power user, the freelancer, or the small agency owner. You can get all these great goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. So, Kirk, so let's go straight into it. So, my first prediction is that WordPress.org plugin directory is just going to face an avalanche of AI-assisted and generated plugins, and they're going to have some problems dealing with this avalanche. And I think there's a necessity for reforms of the WordPress plugin directory, and those reforms have been there for a number of years, but I actually think this is bad, but also could mean that some real changes happen in the way the directory is organized that have been wanting, in my opinion, for quite a while. What do you think of this prediction, Kurt?
I think it's very similar to one of the predictions that I have. I kind of agree with you. We might not agree on causation or results, but I did kind of see a similar thing. I think a lot of people are going to think that it's easy. They're going to be lured in with a false sense of confidence. And to your point, there's going to be just a deluge of really simple, you know, quick action type plugins that people are going to want to create and think, oh, I solved this problem for myself. Surely, you know, 6 million people want to give me $5 each for this. And I just don't think that's going to happen. And then I think, to kind of expand on my own prediction in that space, is I see this whole thing kind of like backfiring for 27 and 28. Like, I think by the time 2027...
You mean 2028?
Yeah, 2027, 2028.
I think, yeah. I think you said 2007, 2008.
Oh, whatever I said.
Yeah. I would never get my terms jumbled, would I?
No.
No.
But I see 2026 being like this, yeah, like this free-for-all. Everybody's going to want to slap their stuff in the repository and take their shot at creating something. And then I see like 2027 and 2028 being like just a rebellion people are going to be not going to want these simple plugins. People are going to get frustrated with the repository. They're going to realize that they built something they can't maintain. It's a struggle. It's this, it's that. And I think we're going to see this kind of wave come in, and then this giant wave of like unsupported plugins happen in the following couple of years.
It's really hard to predict, but I think I do agree with you there. And I think it will lead, because I've promoted for a number of years that instead of this denial in the directory of paid plugins, that it should be embraced, not kind of some artificial denial, that one of the major areas that produces revenue for the WordPress system for independent plugin developers and is there. And there's a kind of denial of it, isn't there? That, you know, you have these kind of rules that you're not allowed to promote your commercial premier plugin in certain ways.
Yeah.
I just think it's totally ridiculous. I think it should be embraced, and it should be a subcategory that are premier plugins that you know have been checked over by somebody, you know, in the directory team. So it's got the stamp of security and it's got some coding standards.
Yeah.
And they're charged, the premier plugin provider is charged for that, because they're getting all the benefits of a marketplace. You know, that's, you know, we know people that we are friends that, and we also work with, that it's been the main way they've built their business. They don't have to deal with the dirty world of online marketing because the directory has marketed their product. They've had to do a lot of additional work, I'm not denying it. But as you know, being in a marketplace, the only problem with a lot of SaaS-based marketplaces like Shopify and other ones is it has its downside. You know, I know somebody that did really well in the Shopify add-on world, and then Shopify saw them doing too well, and then they said, well, we're going to do that product. We're going to integrate it into our main product. We're also going to make sure that you can't sell yours on the marketplace. So they were forced to sell to Shopify. That's not great. That quite, until recently, most people thought they were totally protected from those type of chicanes, didn't they? You know, what happened last year kind of broke that a bit, didn't it? But it has been an enormous benefit for, as I said, we know people that basically built the whole business on a freedom premier basis, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you want to approach this? Do you want to oscillate from one of mine to one of yours, or should we go through mine first in the first half and then we do yours in the second half?
Right? Go back and forth, doesn't matter to me.
So do you want to go do your first one? I put it in 1, 2, 3, 4, your order.
Well,
I think that's the AI filtering, isn't it?
I have a, we could go with AI filtering. It's interesting because I do a lot of work with younger people, Jonathan, and I'm seeing this Gen Z generation. I'm seeing them really crave tactile experiences. Like something I can't wrap my head around, these younger people, they get excited when they get mail. Like if they send a postcard or if they receive something with a stamp, they actually get excited about it, you know? And I go, you know, I'm never happy to see the mail. All the mail is to me is bills and junk mail, right?
But, well, it's bills or writs.
Yeah, someone's coming after me. So I'm never happy to see the mail. And where I'm extending with this is, as I think, as I interact more and more with more and more circles outside of just keyboard warriors, more than just like agency type people, like the public. I'm seeing where AI filtering is going to grow in demand. All of our, not all of, but a lot of our friends in the plugin space, in the IT space, they're all trying to figure out how to leverage more AI to do more things, to do more. And there is a certain desire for AI. Like, I'm not denying that, but I think there's the other side of that pendulum where people are going to crave that human tactile analog experience, even in a digital space. And so I think people are going to search more and more non-AI content. For example, did you see on DuckDuckGo, if you search for images now, you can filter out AI images. And so I think there's going to be more and more of a request for this and more of a tools-based opportunity in the coming year or 18 months for people to create tools that will identify and filter out the AI. And I think more and more people are going to crave that human experience over the AI. There's a certain part of us that wants all the information all the time, but there's another part of us that just wants that relationship.
Yeah, I totally agree. Where that balance, where that line will be drawn, I think is totally up for debate. And that line seems to change, oscillate constantly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, but I totally agree with you. On to one of mine. It's really linked to number one. It's a consequence. I do really think, I think the plugin team are going to be inundated, and also just this, the barrier between custom coding and vibe coding, it's all merging, isn't it? There's going to be a major security breach in the WordPress space, but also not only WordPress. I'm not, this is a like a 70% focus WordPress, 30% SaaS-based podcast. But I see it affecting SaaS as well to some extent, but obviously, but I can see a major security breach in some plugin. And because, you know, there's plugins that come on my radar that got 100,000, 200,000 installs, and I've never even heard of them. They're not even on my radar.
Yeah.
So in the bigger scheme of things, that's a drop in the bucket for the amount of people utilizing WordPress. But that's still a major security problem, isn't it? What do you reckon?
It is. And, you know, I still, about 6 months ago, I read an article, a report, and it was like one of these official reports of statistics and blah, blah, blah. But it was talking about how if you use AI to code, it makes, you know, it gives you bad code 23% of the time. And out of that 23%, much of it is sourced from like malware sites, places like that, you know, because it's finding the code somewhere, right? So it finds it, scrapes it somewhere and puts it on your table. And that to me, it kind of falls in line with what you said, right? Someone creates something, they vibe code something, they're not a developer. They really don't know how to audit the output that they're receiving. They push that code forward. Someone misses it. And then you've got some kind of security breach or some kind of something that happens.
Yeah. So your next one is WordPress will not lose ground, but I believe its growth will be moderate at best. What's that about then, Kurt?
I've had a lot of interesting thoughts about WordPress. And this is such a... So people that haven't listened before, if you haven't already heard, I wasn't part of the community in WordPress for like 14, 15 years that I was working with it. I built an agency. I had, you know, hundreds of clients. I did all these things, but I was never part of the community. Then I went to WordCamp in San Diego, 2018, kind of changed 2018 or 2020. God, I can't remember. It's 21 or 22, right? We went to San Diego. That's when I basically started this community thing. And I started getting really involved with the community, like volunteering at WordCamps and running the WordPress meetup and all those things. So I've seen from both sides of the table very directly. And there's people that are in the inner circle, you know, in the community at WordPress, and they doomsday this whole thing over. You know, it's, you know, Matt can be a little, you know, multi-personality, right? They don't know what Matt's going to wake up in the morning, right? And they seem to ebb and flow on Matt's emotions up and down. And if you're not paying attention, or if you are paying attention to that, you might think, oh, this thing's, you know, it's spiraling out of control. It's going to go down the toilet. This thing's, and then you see people say, oh, we're going to lose market share, you know, and then someone else goes, we're 43% of the internet. And so it goes, that's a lie. You know, it's just this back and forth thing. But I think in reality, Jonathan, again, seeing it from the position of before I was in the community, what did I think? Great platform, solid CMS. You know, security's come a long, long way since everybody complained about it 15, 20 years ago. I mean, it is, as far as I'm concerned, the opportunity with the plugins, the function, the flexibility, the ownership, nothing comes close to what WordPress is delivering in that way. And without going too far about the different directions inside of WordPress, but just talking about WordPress in general, I think it's not going to lose ground. It's not going to lose market share. But I see more of a maturing of the people that are the users, a maturing of the agency types, a maturing of the users, rather than an onslaught of a bunch of new users that are inexperienced.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. It kind of merges into my next point, but I also, before we go into point three, my prediction, number three prediction, which is linked to your one, is, yeah, it might be driving for, I'm just stating the obvious, but I haven't heard most people state this, is that the growth has been in the Indian subcontinent, has been in the southern area, you know, has been not in North America. The growth has been in Malaysia. The growth's been in India. The growth's been in Bangladesh, Pakistan, the Gulf States. It's not been in Western Europe, and it's definitely not been in North America. I might be totally wrong. I haven't got the data. It's just my inclination. The growth has been zero in North America. It hasn't been losing traction as much as I thought, because it's just facing an avalanche. A lot of attention is based on Squarespace and on Wix. But when you look at their market share, it's minute. What has affected WordPress is literally every integrated vertical industry has some form of CRM, has some integrated website builder and marketing tool. Every industry, every sub-industry vertical, not only one or two, but half a dozen SaaS-based platforms, which used to be the total territory of WordPress. And I haven't heard many people discuss that in the podcast WordPress space, really, but it's been pretty obvious to me that's been going on, is it's a death of a thousand cuts in the North American. But that doesn't mean there's an enormous, when it comes to customization, it used to be a cost barrier. That's one of the good things about what we've seen in AI coding or assisted. I think a better way of seeing it is assisted AI coding. I think, right? Where the cost barrier of true customization will go down considerably, and it'll be offered the ability to customize a solution to the client's real needs. But the problem is a lot of clients don't even know what their needs are, or they want too much customization. They're not prepared to change their internal systems, and they want a totally customized, which has its own problems, doesn't it? So that's kind of linked to my prediction number three. We'll get a clearer picture of the question is WordPress and its ability to be a true headless CMS. Will that really meet what AI really wants? Because I'm not an expert on AI, but I listen to a lot of AI podcasts too much. And some of the people I listen to, I've checked them over and they've got a credible history in software development and AI expertise. Every person that I keep on my pod list and I regularly listen to, I check them over. Do they have any credibility? Do they have any real knowledge in the subject? Because there are a lot of charlatans out there, especially in podcasting and on YouTube. And almost the ones that I listen to, Kirk, say that they use this term of primitives, that AI wants flat data. It doesn't like walled garden data. That's what a successful SaaS wants. It doesn't want data to be transportable. Yeah. You see that in the NMS space, in the membership space, like Kajabi doesn't make its data accessible. It makes it accessible by a limited API, but it's limited. It gives you no ability to export the data. So a lot of CMSs, the data is walled gardened, I said, to a certain degree. They might have API, but what AI wants, it wants flat data. It wants primitives. It wants data to be accessible. That's the best terms I can put it. Is this making sense, Kurt?
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if it's making sense to the average listener. I mean, it's...
Well, this is aimed at the WordPress freelancer profession, yeah, isn't it, Kurt?
Yeah. So, I mean, we need to think about it like, you know, if you're describing it like SaaS kind of keeps its data like hidden behind things that AI can't naturally get into, whereas WordPress is a little more open.
Yeah. It's a open source quasar. This has been the enormous debate in 2025. Is it truly an open source platform? I always thought it was a semi-open. I never treated it as a totally open source platform. Not around the data, more about how it was internally run. But in per technical terms, it's a much more open platform than any priority run SaaS-based system. So in the world of what I call, this is a term that I've created for my own fault. I don't know. I call it flat data. That AI wants flat data. It wants accessible data and it wants flat data. Right?
All right.
Now we're doing for time. Just to go on to the next one on your list. We'll lose ground.
Plugin developers with suites.
Yeah, so on your Allo prediction podcast that you did with Matt Medeiros.
Yeah.
You mentioned this. So what's your thoughts about this?
Well, if you've listened to anything with Jonathan and I, you know that we're definitely in the WP Managed Ninjas tent, right? We have Fluent CRM.
Never. I don't like tools at all.
We have Fluent CRM, you know, Fluent Cart, Fluent Form, Fluent SMTP. I personally, when I'm running my agency, I like to use these types of plugin suites. I like the inference that things are going to work well together, right? When I'm building things for clients, I want them to be consistent, reliable. And I don't want to have like weird connections to things or have to depend on like a WP Fusion connection or depend on a WP Automator to make something happen. So if I can integrate my CRM with my LMS, with my, form tool, and I know that those things natively behave very well together, I like going that route. I do. However, I also see the other side of this. Like, I think you're noticing I'm very much in a teeter-totter mindset today. It's convenient. I like it. I think it's more stable. I love the products from Fluent. I was talking to Adam, with SureCart and SureMembers, and I was talking to him a week or two ago, and kind of expressing the same thing. They've got a new CRM coming out. So they've got a CRM coming out. They've got a community tool. They've got that kind of that same garden approach. you know, but then we come across that idea that you float a lot, Jonathan, and that's that walled garden idea. It's like when you build your house all on that one thing,
yeah, can I,
that one brand, you kind of get locked in.
Can I slightly interrupt? Never, I would never do that, would I, Kurt? But I've got better, haven't I?
Yeah.
Right. It's tricky. But I think I think that's one of the things. And Fluent, and also WP Funnels.
And WP Funnels with Creator LMS, great tools.
With their Mint, you know, it's WP Funnels and it's Fluent that I've hitched my wagon to a certain degree, but I've also bought a lot of licenses. I spent a lot of money buying lifetime licenses. I decided not to go down the bootleg route. You know, I don't care certain individuals that we know say it's totally legal. Well, it might be totally legal, but it's still morally bankrupt, in my opinion.
It's what you use.
So I chose to go the morally high ground and buy the license and do special deals for my custom hosting offering, right? And it cost me a fair bit of money to buy all those lifetime licenses, about $20,000, right? Where was going? Is this walled garden? It's a tricky one. I think Shaw and Fluent and WP Funnels have done it in a way that it gives you benefits, but they haven't pushed it to a total walled garden. I think Elementor have pushed it, and there's been, and in some ways, a couple other providers that have a few years ago were bought up by those that I will not comment on because I will get a legal letter if I do. Have been bought up. Fry Themes. Oh, I might as well go with it. Fry Themes bought, but they weren't offering the hosting, but you had to buy. That's one of the things when I was listening to your other podcast, you traitor, Kirk. They insisted that you said, why doesn't Fluent provide a universal offering that you can buy all the plugins? Yeah. And it's attractive, but it's what Fry Themes did. But they only... offering a bundle product, but they offered a bundle product and then they wouldn't offer the individual plugins separately.
Oh, yeah.
So you were forced into the walled garden.
Yeah. Right?
Now, when you add the hosting to the walled garden, and we are going to be talking about this with another company on my list, then it becomes a true walled garden. It becomes a quasar SaaS product. You know, you can install other plugins, but it's tricky. It's finding that balance, and nobody in the WordPress space, because at a time, a lot of the leaders in the WordPress community, the influencers, thought that WordPress could become a SaaS, and you had all these SaaS offerings, but it never gelled with people. It never got the traction people thought.
Yeah, there's so many times that you'll be talking to somebody and they'll say, oh, well, I'm just going to multi-site that and then offer it as a SaaS. And it makes sense when it comes out of their face. And it made sense when it came out of my face in the past. But none of those real multi-site kind of SaaS offerings that I was a part of in the past, none of them ever got traction. None of them ever really took off.
Well, I was thinking of it, but then part of my oscillation, it's all based, I think, based my oscillation, as I call it. That's what I call it. You call it madness, don't you, Kurt? is around the failings of, because when I originally started WP Tonic and I had my vision, I thought it was going to be a WordPress-based SaaS. But it just doesn't work, Kirk. It doesn't. Why it doesn't work, I haven't really spent the mental energy to really think out why it doesn't work, but it doesn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of it has to do with just the basic mentality, the break in it. Like, people sign up for a SaaS platform, and when they get what they get, they just deal with it. You know what I mean? Like, I've seen people buy into Kajabi and they go, oh, I guess that's the way that looks. Okay, I'll just put my logo on the left instead of the right this time. Right? It's like they just adjust. But as soon as they get into the WordPress space and they hear any inkling that it's flexible and customizable, you know, the gloves come off and the SaaS offer is out the window. Now they want everything to be customer set up, you know, their way or what they envision their way is. And it's really hard to have
a
cookie cutter example.
I think with WP Tonic, with your help, we've found a reasonably, it's taken a while.
A great compromise.
But we've found a happy medium, and we know how to deal with certain customer sets,
yeah,
and where we have to put a fence up and where those break points are. Yeah. But that took a while with your help to get there because it's tricky.
Yeah, it sure is.
I think it's a good place to. I think we've had a great discussion. I think there's a load of meat in this first episode.
Well, I mean, we even had a comment, so I'm excited.
Yeah, we even had a comment, Emily. We're going to go for our break, folks. When we come back, we've got some other great predictions. I've got some spicy ones. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Updating plugins and themes shouldn't feel risky. That's why over 300,000 WordPress users trust WP Rollback. With just a click, you can safely roll back any plugin or theme. No manual file uploads and no downtime. And with WP Rollback Pro, you can download premium plugins and themes. Tools like Elementor, Gravity Forms, and more. Track every rollback you do with detailed activity logs. Protect your workflow and take the stress out of updates. Learn more at WPRollback.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the second half, I just want to point out, if you're a WordPress professional and you're looking for great hosting, why don't you look at becoming a partner with WP Tonic? We specialize in WooCommerce, in membership and community websites. We offer the best WordPress technology, so you don't have to get into arguments with your clients about who buys the technology. You can get it all from one source, i.e. from WP Tonic. None of the technology we provide is bootlegged. It's all licensed, unlike some other providers that will not be mentioned. All our plugins, technology that we supply in one unified package comes from us, fully licensed. Plus, you have access to our great team. Kirk is part of the team. We've got a great small team, and we're much more than a hosting provider. You can find more. And also, have I mentioned, we've got some great financial packages for you to become a partner. You can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. Let's build something special together. Right. What do you reckon? I thought that was pretty good, wasn't it? Yeah. There we go. I'm looking, he says nice things about Matt Medeiros, but he's not so generous with me. Let's move on. Stellar WP and they're going to, in my opinion, they're going to break up. The model hasn't worked. The individual Chris Lemmer that was part of it was Stellar W. I'm not even sure Stellar. It was Liquid Web when Chris joined. He's the one that thought up buying all these plugins and offering them in one package and building a kind of quasar, not quite what Fry Themes did, but it hasn't worked out. It will never work out, in my opinion. I think the people that own Liquid Web, I think Liquid Web is doing quite well, but because it's in the pure enterprise level hosting space, I think WordPress has lost interest for them. And I don't see that Stellar, and they got bought out by venture capital. They've cut back. They've lost interest. It's going to be broken up, and the various parts of the plugin is going to be sold on the open market. And I see this happening in 2026 myself. Might be totally wrong, but that's my honest opinion, Kurt. What do you reckon?
What do you reckon? You know, it's actually a very difficult topic to talk about, Jonathan. A lot of the really great people I met through the WordCamp process, you know, getting
out. Oh, nothing. I've got Ben, you know, the developer of Cadence, fantastic individual, fantastic developer. Devin, who's moved on to Automattic, that was part. They had some great people. It's all gone south. It's all gone sour.
Carmen used to be on their LearnDash program. And then we just interviewed the guy that did LearnDash with James, right?
Yeah, James. Yeah, really like James. Not sure if James likes me after my last comment on one of his videos. But I do like, he's got an interesting style, James, hasn't he?
I like James. He's smart. He's smart and he's doing good things with Edge. I really struggle with the whole thing. And I feel like, just on a personal note, I'm in so deep with Lifter LMS that it's hard to comment on LearnDash and not sound like I got my hand in the cookie jar, right? But the thing that I've
said... I think you've been very fair, to be truthful.
Yeah, the thing that I've said publicly and that I feel safe repeating is, you know, I'm on a team with Lifter and they're releasing new things all the time. They just did a soft launch of a gift feature last week or 2 weeks ago. If that would have come out before Christmas, that would have been great, but it came out like right at Christmas. They had did the continuing education. They revamped the groups program. They revamped social learning. There's constantly development happening and new features and a freshness coming in that space. And what I always considered to be the biggest competition was LearnDash. And, you know, with WP Tonic and the work that we've done, Jonathan, we've got LearnDash clients. And I've got LearnDash clients through Manana No Mas. So I still have that experience of working
in... I like Lifter. I like Chris. I like what Chris and the other partners have done.
Yeah.
I like Creator LMS. I think they could get some traction. They were kind to offer me a lifetime deal. It's a great product. I think with LearnDash, I think the problem with LearnDash was this need for external plugin.
They had the opportunity to develop and to continue. And
well, they did, but they decided to develop another external, which they owned. It was still a muddle, far as I was concerned. I think that was done because they had business arrangements with other membership plugins and it all got a bit murky and difficult. But I know nothing. I'm just surmising that. I'm not being told anything. But I don't believe that the business model, I don't know this for a fact. I might be incorrect. It's only my opinion. But when Chris Lemmer was had big influence with them, this was his vision, and it just hasn't, you know, and some visions work out and some visions don't work out, and this vision hasn't worked out. It never will, in my opinion. I might be totally wrong. It's just my opinion. It never will work.
When you got venture capitalism, a lack of development, and, you know, a breadcrumb trail of layoffs over the last year, it makes it real hard to be positive in your thoughts about momentum going forward.
No, in my opinion, the various plugins will be sold off in 2026. But I might be totally wrong. They'll probably announce next week that they're investing $20 million into the business. And that show that what idiot I am. There we go. On to your next one. What's your next one?
Oh, my goodness. I have that the cost of premium hosting will increase.
Well, it just depends what you think. What you think premium hosting means, doesn't it? That managed hosting is being, it means nothing. It means everything and nothing. You know, managed hosting. That's interesting. You use the term premium rather than managed, isn't it?
Yeah.
You did. I presume you did that on purpose.
I did.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted a little bit.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Between two different factors, there's two different factors at play here, the way that I'm seeing this. One is that this AI, you know, quagmire of nonsense that the whole planet seems to be wrapped up in is everybody.
It's not nonsense, but it is nonsense. It's you know, that's the tricky point, isn't it? There is substance. I use a lot of AI. It's been very helpful for me.
Yep.
I wish it had turned up 10 years ago, but it is what it is. I still think I've got another 10 years before I go, my brains go to utter jelly. So I just want to leave. I want to go out big and think that I did the best. But it's been very helpful for me. And it's definitely, this is more than just a con. But I think you're talking about the total drifter class that have pounced on this to even a larger extent than crypto. It was bad with crypto. It was bad with crypto. And this drifter class, they have hit this hard, haven't they?
Yeah. And they're going to use it as an excuse to bung up the prices. The other side of why I say the cost of premium hosting will increase is just in our own experience. And I'm being very, very transparent here. For New Year's, we've increased our rates at Manana Nomaz. And, you know, newsflash, we're not as cheap as WP Tonic. So if you want to bargain, you go over to WP Tonic.
Well, I have increased them. And I did listen. Kirk was saying you've got to, you know.
You've increase your prices.
And I just done it in a kind of quasar.
Yeah.
Subtle way, didn't I?
There is such a difference between someone that wants to have a blog as a hobby and somebody that thinks they're an entrepreneur that wants to project manage their own website enterprise. And these people have become ever more demanding, and those demands incur labor costs. And as you well know, when you're in business, if you suffer a labor cost, you need to push that along somewhere with a margin. There's got to be, you know, there's got to be profit on the other side of the cost. And so I think a lot of the people that supply decent support with premium hosting and with these different AI options and all these things, the complications, the extra bandwidth that some people are using when they're vibe coding all their junk. I think the hosts are going to seize the opportunity to raise the prices.
Well, yeah, you know, people, you know, I'm going to mention them because both of these companies are never going to sponsor my show. So GoDaddy, you know, Bluehost, SiteGround, there's a host of them. They've done WordPress so much damage by offering jamming as many websites in their shared hosting as possible, offering awful support. Bluehost of them is one of the better ones in a strange way, but they're just free names, but there's a whole host of these lower quality WordPress hosting providers out there, and they've caused WordPress a lot of damage. But on the other hand, the market, it's like they say in finance, you never go against the Fed, because if you do, you're not going to be around very long. And like, don't go against the market because you're going to blow a lot of money and you're going to go bankrupt. That's what the market wanted. you know, that's the message, you know, that you could have your site run on $5 a month and you get fantastic support and it'd be the best quality hosting and this, that, and the other. And it's just all, it's just nonsense. But that's what the market wants, doesn't it?
That's what the market wanted. And you know what? While it's almost humorous sometimes to kind of poke fun at the $5 a month providers that are out there, you know, Bluehost rises right to the top in that conversation, but there's, you know, Bluehost and Hostinger and a couple of others. I was on Bluehost for 16 years as an agency.
And you were totally, you were pretty happy, weren't you?
I was pretty what? Happy?
Happy.
Yeah. To me, their customer service, their customer service was great. And, you know, you've seen me work. You know, I'm a fairly independent person. Like I try to research my own answers and I only bother support if I really, really need to. And when I had to call them or get on chat with them, it was great service. Like it really was. But the truth of the matter was, is as our projects grew and we dealt with more enterprise level projects, we had to get into a more capable hosting environment. That was just the simple truth of it.
Right. Let's go on to even more spy. Oh, it's you, isn't it? I've had one. Australia. It's your next one.
What's the next one? We just did the cost of premium hosting is going to increase.
Oh, yeah. It's me then. Yeah. Sorry. Well, let's go on to my, this ain't really spicy. Silver Lake will sell WP Engine to Automatic in 2026. I'm just going to give you my logic to this. If you take out, obviously, you've got the emotional side. Some of the partners of Silver Lake to say, and Matt Mullenweg and some of the partners of Silver Lake to say they don't like one another would be the understatement of the century. But take out the emotional part of it. I just don't think for Automatic and for Matt Mullenweg it was acceptable for an outside company to do an IPO. It's just not acceptable to Automatic and to the founder. And I understand it. If anybody's going to have an IPO in the WordPress space, it's going to be Automatic. And I think the founder, the joint founder of WordPress, that's a line which she's not prepared. I want to point out, I have no inside knowledge of this in any shape or form.
Yeah.
But I think for Matt, it is not acceptable for a company like WP Engine to go IPO and to make $100 million plus out of something that he started with a joint founder, but then grew to what it is. If anybody's going to have an IPO in his mind, it's going to be Automatic. And Silver Lake, it's like, it's not about, you know, even though I've heard that the couple of the partners absolutely detest Matt Mullenweg with a passion, it's business. And they're there to make money. They bought it because they thought they can't. And unless this gets settled and it, through the court system, it will drag on for years. It's not going to be settled. 2026 is going to be a hot year for IPOs. They are, Elon Musk is going to, with SpaceX, he's going to go public. And it's going to be a hot year for the IPO market. With this case, Silver Lake can't go IPO. They can't, and that's why they bought their stake in it. Now, to settle this matter for it not to go through the courts, in my opinion, I think Matt Mullenweg, with his venture supporters, he can get the money to buy it. It will be haggled, but I see Matt and Automatic buying WP Engine. What do you think of my logic, Kurt?
I wouldn't take it off the table. I certainly wouldn't. You know, on one hand, people new to the WordPress space assume that WordPress is WordPress and everything else is something else. And then, you know, we've all learned over the last few years, you know, the automatic is.
Max's attitude is this is my garden.
Yeah.
I invested most of my life in this. You wouldn't have a garden to play in unless I had built this up. If you're not prepared to give me what I want, you're not playing in this garden. End of story. And you might not like that. You might say that's not right. That's, you know, but as far as what I've seen, that's the reality of the situation. If you want to play in the garden, you play by my rules or you're out. And Silver Lake, they might have an army of lawyers, but so does Automatic. And Matt's got some big supporters, financial supporters. And I just got the impression that if you're going to go, and I don't think he's got a lot of love for Alamator either, but they're Israeli-based company. They got private equity. I think their days are numbered as well. I think to some, you know, they got a little bit arrogant in their attitude and practices as well. And they peeved off a lot of people using their product. So I think their days are over to some extent. They're all going to make a ton of money. Don't worry. You know, they're going to sell it off as well, in my opinion. But when it comes to WP Engine, I think Matt's made it clear it's not on if you're going to go the IPO route. The only people that are going to go the IPA route is Automatic, and that's the end of the story.
Could be.
So let's go to your last one. It was a good time.
You sure did frame it well. You framed it really well, right? You're like, this is what Matt's going to put up with, and don't be arrogant, and don't mess up the garden or the sandbox. And then Kevin Geary comes along with Etch and releases Etch. Now, I was super, super clear. I am one of the Etch early adopters. He got my money before I even saw a working example of anything.
He didn't get mine.
No. But I guess I'll make the announcement here, right? I haven't done it on a podcast yet. We just re-released the Mañana No Más website over Christmas weekend in Etch. So it's built in Etch. It's not the prettiest website I've ever made, but that wasn't the point. The point was, can I build something functional and efficient in Etch? And my page speed went from a 64 in bricks to an 87 in Etch, which was the real telltale sign of what I was looking for. Am I going to build more efficient, you know, higher performing websites on this platform? And I think the answer is yes. The thing is the way that Etch is being released and the way that it is being purported to the community, it is a fundamental shift and change in the way that you build sites in WordPress compared to other page builders. And I really see this as a teeter-totter moment, right? It's super positive that we can see this growth and this change and this transition and this metamorphosis of talent in the WordPress space. That part's great, but I feel like it's going to drive a wedge between these communities. There's going to
be... Well, the owner, I think Edge is a fantastic product. I think Kevin Geary's done a fantastic... But there's two sides to Kevin, isn't there? You know, yeah,
he's not somebody
I particularly like engaging with because I find him arrogant, patronizing, and rude, basically. He's personally attacked me for my political views, which I've never attacked him for. He's personally attacked me for my honest opinion that I see him as a troll. He's a terrible troll of mega proportions in the WordPress. Fantastic marketer, does it, in my opinion, purposely. He trolls people to get them going, and that benefits him, and it benefits. But it's also the tribe that follows him. They want him. They got really fed up with Gutenberg and the way it was implemented. There's a lot of people in the power freelancer, small agency space that totally, totally despise Gutenberg.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was handled really badly by Automatic and by Matt as well. I think it was really done in a bad way. Stating the obvious, as in Kevin's great terms, I think he described me as a whinging pommy bee something. Well, that was, he used different words, but he said, you know, I thought that was hilarious coming from Kevin because, you know, everything that comes out of his mouth is negative. But yeah, there is truth to a lot of his statements. It's just the volume. But
well,
I think his tribe really likes what he says because they got totally fed up with the direction, the wave. And a lot of their frustration is totally based on truth. Even though I've enhanced Gutenberg through Cadence or Generate Press or some of the other libraries out there, because you just got to accept what it is, basically. The market makes the decision, but there's a load of freelancers, small, they just despise Gutenberg for understandable reasons, don't they?
But my point is, if you take a look at Divi, because I think Divi is another one of these, like, you know, in the multiverse of WordPress, right? It's like a totally different tangent. So you go down the Divi line. Divi doesn't make a ton of noise in the space. They have a really loyal following. It's not my bag of tea. It's not, Divi's not my cup of tea at all. But there's a lot of people that are in that tribe that love it, that are loyal, that are going to stick thick and thin. They love it, right? But Divi wasn't like loud and boisterous about it like the way...
Well, the founder is totally different to Kevin, you know. I think Kevin does it for, this is my opinion, does it because his tribe likes that. It generates more sales. I think Kevin is extremely capable businessman and a capable, extremely better marketer than me, much better marketer, but he's just driven by data, in my opinion. And that's what his tribe wants to hear. They hate Gutenberg, and I understand. I've tried not to be negative. I tried to be constructive. I think it's got a lot better, Gutenberg. I think this whole thing of you got to adapt to React and all the rest of it for this smaller agency, which is the power base of WordPress, it was never going to fly. It was never going to fly. And it still hasn't flown with them. Their PHP, their CSS, their HTML5, they know a bit of JavaScript, React. You know, for the type of websites they're building for the small, medium market, it's just a pain in the ass, Gutenberg, for these people. It really is a pain in the arse. And Kevin saw it, and it's, am I making any sense? Or am I?
You are. You are. You know, I just want to be like super clear. Love the product. The results I've gotten on my own site have been phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to doing more going forward. I worry from the community perspective that it's a big enough change and it's a boisterous and loud enough and, like, I hate to say the word negative, but it's like a...
Well, that last thing from Kevin when he went after Ollie, is it? Is it Ollie?
Like McAllister, yeah.
That was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. I mean, that was mind-numbingly childish from Kevin, wasn't it? You know, but he won't listen to anybody and he doesn't want... any feedback or any shape or form. I made it clear through my public comments. I knew what he was doing, in my opinion. He was just trawling me and trying to get me going. And you're not going to do it, Kevin. I'm not
this guy.
Yeah, I commented a couple of times and that's it. But I wish him well. It's a great product. I understand why those that use it are so passionate about it, because they are I only have to mention there's certain developers. I only have to mention Gutenberg, and they go on it. They 10 minutes later, I'm still listening why they hate it so much.
Yeah.
Well, Kirk, I think that this has been an interesting show, isn't it? What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Well, the Mañana Nomás website, that's newly released in Etch, right? So mañananomás.com or LinkedIn, Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. I'm easy to find.
And if you want to support the show, folks, what's the best ways to do it? We have grown in 2025. My downloads have gone up quite considerably. Hopefully we get some good sponsors for 2026. If you're looking to sponsor your WordPress plugin shop or hosting provider and that, why don't you have a chat with me? Also, if you really want to support the show, what's the best ways? Go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel. That would really help. Or if you're listening on your phone on Spotify or iTunes, leave a review. That's the greatest way you can support the show in 2026. I think we've got some great interviews coming up in the next 2 months. It should be a great year for WP Tonic and the podcast. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also, to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.